Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Absolute Cuts. We're in a different location this week, even though the backdrop suggests we aren't.
You can see there's a crease in the brick.
The beauty of this is we're able to build this brick wall every single time we go somewhere else. We're in Kai Humphrey's house.
Yeah, the usual studio's getting redone, so we've just come in here and treated it as...
Treated it like utter shit.
We've just put this up. I took down his family photographs.
Talking about going and washing our balls in his sink. dishes being done.
I said we're just going to get all those white towels and take our trousers off and for no reason sit on them. Hey guys, they're a little kind of like brown hue off our towels. Absolutely
shit
over the place.
It's a nice house, anyway.
It is, I'll take it.
Yeah. Thanks very much to Kai for allowing us to be to do this.
Another lovely day in Glasgow as well.
Yeah.
The weather. It's very pleasant.
I just feel like you're being fucking sarcastic.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm going to see Scotland play England tonight.
I didn't know you were going.
Yeah,
I came on. So Scotland against England's tonight when we're filming this or whatever. And it's out tomorrow, in fairness. I saw someone on the train with Papa G number 10.
Papa G.
Papa G number
10. He's starting up front for it.
Papa G. Papa G. McGinn to Papa G. I just think that, like, if somebody... I feel like you'd ask that guy, why Papa G? And you're expecting, a story. And I feel like he's the type of guy to just go, it's my name.
Aye.
Anyway, all right.
My name's Gordon and I've got grandkids. Papa G. Did you see because we played Cyprus the other day away, and I don't know if you saw Alex Salmond was at the game, and he was cutting about with a Scotland top, not a goalie top or anything, just a regular top with number one and Salmond in the back. He's cutting about with the fans.
Christ.
Just like he's a big fucking man. He was always quite a big guy, but
Salmond won is
proper Scottish.
Salmond won women though. So fucking stupid.
You were in Dundee at the weekend and some absolute Cuts
fans.
There
was Cuts fans, there was about four or five in that show.
The room only holds four or five, so
it was an absolute Cuts show.
I had a few in Saltburn by the Sea.
Saltburn.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's a lovely wee gig.
I'm doing it in October. So.
Yeah, and I did Middlesbrough as well. I was telling you in the car on the way over. I went into a bar because the England v Ukraine game was finishing. So I went in a bar across to watch it. And they had the football on the big screen, but also karaoke happening. And so the guy's doing the usual. He's like, welcome up, come over, Leanne, who's going to do Crazy in Love? And you go, Jesus Christ, this is going to be fucking brutal. And then they said, can we have... Nathan or something, and he's going to do Highway to Hell. So I thought, all right, this will be pretty good. And then this one-legged guy fucking came up, and he was one of those singers that, because like AC/DC isn't easy to sing,
no,
because you need that gravelly Brian Johnson, Scott voice. And this guy clearly thought he had one.
Oh no!
But all he had was like a bad cold. So he was screaming, because even when like Brian Johnson sings AC/DC songs, there's still a bit of melody in the gruff, gravelly voice. Whereas this guy was just, he sounded like he had fucking throat cancer. He was like, he's hurt! It was very, very, very funny.
I love that.
But the crowd properly get it. Like there was, it must really piss people off. When they do, because I've done karaoke at like house parties and stuff, but I've not done it. I was going to say I've not done it professionally in years. Those days are behind me. If you're a really good singer, because there were really good singers, it must really piss you off when the crowd only get into someone who's utter shite.
Song. So it's like, would it be just like us?
Yeah. But this guy was dross, but he fucking... Because it was Highway to Hell, the whole audience were well into it. And he got a far bigger round of applause than, like, some lassie had done Leanne Rhymes just before him. Pitch perfect.
Fields of Barley.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the field. I love you, Mum. That's great.
So yeah, we're in Kai's house. Kai, another sneak for when we eventually tell at Christmas the sausage story.
Yeah, yeah.
Kai's left us a sausage marinating in water.
He's left it.
Which?
It looks like, I can tell if that's brine.
It's
or...
horrible. It's really.
And then if please do not eat marinating for Christmas.
Colin, I'll give you 20 quid right now if you drink the brine. If you tan the sausage juice,
it's making me sick.
20 quid
it's
for sausage
making
juice.
Me sick even
I'll like... drink it if you give me a fiver. I'll drink the sausage juice.
I can't even. You know why? I can't even watch you do it because I'll get sick.
This is the kind of shit we need to start doing for content. This is the kind of stuff that Dead Men Talking do. We need to start getting in on this mental shit. We're too professional.
Do you think that's...
sausage juice is the way to go?
That was our big break. Do you reckon that's
imagine
the cuts? One of those documentaries like Rolling Stones, but it's like absolute cuts back in the day. When you think the turning point was? When did it go supersonic? It was in Kai's house.
the day
of England.
Because that's what they say now in comedy. Like everyone's just one clip away from becoming, like taking over and becoming dominant. Imagine ours was sausage juice. Yeah,
you drinking sausage
remember
juice
the day. Remember the day the sausage. You just like
all over Kai's
all
house.
Over the soundboard.
There's fucking what happened in the podcast. There's puke everywhere. Holes in the wall.
The sausage is gone.
And my towels are half brown. I had someone. You know when you ask someone. I asked a bartender in Aberdeen in the Blue Lamp, going like, she gave me a drink and I went, that sounds like she's from near me. Aww. And I go, and I came and sat down and go, I think she's from like near me, not Donegal specifically, I'd say like, but close to me in Tyrone. And you know those times where you're just like, I bet you now I'll go up and ask her, she'll be like, I'm from Aberdeen, you fucking idiot, because I'm real bad with accents. So next time I go up for a pint, I was like, are you from near Donegal? And she just went, I'm from Aberdeen. And I went, I fucking knew it. Which made her way more confused. She was just like, but we're in Aberdeen. She's like, we're in Aberdeen. And then I was like, sorry, I thought you're from Martin. She's thinking about the other bartender. She's from near you. And I go, no, I wasn't.
So you didn't even notice the accent of the actual Irish lassie. I love the fact that you went, I fucking knew it. So she's now got this backstory of you sitting there at a table angrily looking at her going, bet she's from fucking Aberdeen.
Fucking oil and gas bastards.
What's your opinion of Aberdeen?
It's not as bad as people let on it is.
It's not. It's
weird that with the people all, they're like all have, like, you know, oh, what do you do for a living? And they're all the exact same.
Yeah. It's class. It's a class for a night out. But when you're up there and it rains, one of the most depressing places.
Okay,
you
right.
Because everything's grey.
It is, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
The sky is also grey. It's just...
Yeah, I can see why. Yeah. It becomes an oil rig itself.
Oh, it's fucking... It can be proper grim and
deep
draining.
Water horizon.
But for a night out, absolutely class. I saw a proper Wild West fight the last time I was out in Aberdeen.
Through the cellar doors.
We were in... We were in... Me and my pals had been up, my pals to school. And I was doing a gig up there and they'd come
you
up.
You friends that are in school?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how we snuck them in. We did that thing where I just stacked three of them up in a big trench coat. Put a fake moustache on. Hello?
You're like, you fucking... Wait, you open up the trench coat and the bottom one has the moustache on? Boys! We practiced this.
But I were in this bar in a fight. We were in like the lower level and then there was like a mezzanine on the top and a fight started on that and the fight spilled down the stairs but someone got pushed through the fucking wood of the balcony as well. It was absolute class. And then other people that were in the bottom bit. You know, like when you see in a Wild West film, in a saloon where a fight will start between two guys, but
and then someone else happens.
They'll get punched into someone else who's just trying to have a drink, and then he'll turn around and lamp him as well. And then just everybody's getting involved. It was like that. It was fucking class.
Spider web.
Yeah. And then at that point, you're kind of wondering, should I have a couple of digs myself? Just yeah. And then, you know, just to get involved.
Trickle down batternomics. Starts from the top and just bleeds down. Whole bar goes up the stairs. Sheriff of Aberdeen's in. Aberdeen better have a sheriff.
Right. This week's film.
Well, yeah, right. Well,
it's
yours. Yeah, well, yeah, you can. I can tell by your fucking tone already. But I was the same as you because you mentioned it in the car.
Yeah.
So right, we'll go for it. The film is Final Destination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 2000 classic. Yeah. I've noticed a couple of people tweeting this, going like, "Oh, I can't wait and put a picture," and they go, "Wrong one."
There's another Final Destination.
Are you joking?
What? Were they thinking we were doing one of the sequels?
Yeah, but the last one, the sixth one's called The Final Destination.
Oh, no. There's rules.
There's rules
we established in the very first episode that we've never ever mentioned since.
Yeah, yeah.
If we start, we have to start, if it's a franchise, we have to start
at
the first one. We can't just jump in and do like The Dark Knight. We have to have done Batman Begins beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. That's
which is going to make it very tricky when we start in the Carry On films. If you rock up with Carry On Cleo, I'm like, not a fucking chance. We've got 52 films to get through before we do Carry On Cleo.
But we should just do a Carry On season.
Yeah, 1 year.
One year.
Every week.
52. Yes, 52 Carry. What is it this week? I can't wait till next year when we can do the Ernest films. Ernest goes to Auschwitz.
Is Ernest not a? Has he not been cancelled now?
Is he? Well, I don't.
I think he was a one.
Like a.
Not like a bad cancelling, but I think he was a bit of a wronging.
A bit of him dabbled.
I don't think he's.
With
I don't think he's bad enough that Ashton Kutcher and Mia Kunis will write a letter praising how amazing they are at rape.
What was that? That was Danny Masterson, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've never heard of the cunt.
People in the NFL Discord all really hate him. Like they were like this fucking cunt, because apparently it's been going on a long time.
Yeah.
And then you see like clips of like Conan O'Brien calling them out in like 2005.
It's mental. Have you seen the clips? Because I'd never seen the 70s show.
Nah.
So I didn't.
Wouldn't be my thing.
But then. I didn't realize that. So I didn't realize Ashton Kutcher and Mia Kunis are married now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that. But I didn't realize she started in the show when she was 14, and he was like 18.
Whoa.
But they were going out in the show.
Ah,
have you not seen any of the clips?
Hold on, I didn't even fucking think Ashton Kutcher's in the 70s show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How have I missed that? He's the main guy.
Yeah. So one of the victims, I think it's one of the victims, or one of the people that's representing the victims of Danny Masterson, when they released those letters, basically defending him, saying, "Oh, he's a really lovely guy. There's no way he's done this. All this kind of shit." Character. Profiling. They've released a load of clips of Ashton Kutcher, and there's some creepy shit, man. He's on a talk show. The two of them are on a talk show, and he's talking about how Danny Masterson bet him, because there was like a scene where she was 14, he was 18, and they had to get off with each other, and then Danny Masterson made him a bet for him to slip her the tongue.
Oh.
And they're laughing away at this. And then there's another really creepy bit. Thing where he's got her on his lap, and at this point he's like fucking 21, and he's going, yeah, it feels great to have her sitting on my lap like this, and then there's another thing where he did Punked, pile of shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember Rio Ferdinand did that, like the British version of Punked?
What?
Yeah. Rio Ferdinand did a prank show as well.
Is that during his 9 months off in the middle drugs test? We got something to keep you.
It stopped when they punked him when his wife died. Like, oh guys, you got me. No, actually, she is dead, Rio.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Did Jimmy get an experience? Was a tracheotomy? It wasn't really an experience.
No, there's this interview when he was doing Punked, Ashton Kutcher, where he's talking about Hilary Duff. She was in like a series of films,
yeah.
And he's basically going, yeah, she's only like 13 now, but she's one of those ones where every guy in Hollywood just can't wait till she turns 18. It's like her and the Olsen twins, it turns out he's a fucking weirdo as well.
Ugh. It's amazing that the Olsen twins are now not the famous Olsen.
Yeah,
how mad is that when you were growing up?
Yeah, what are they? What
Mary Kate and Ashley,
Mary Kate and Ashley, so they were in Full House.
Yeah,
Bob Saget.
Yeah, is that what it was? And then it was fucking Parent Trap. No, no, who was that? That was Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, now it's Scarlet Witch, who's the most famous.
Scarlet Witch, yeah. Do you know Ashton Kutcher then has completely undone his good guy image that he's had for about 10 years there about the sex traffic and stuff?
Oh, so he was, yeah. Was he's not a big climate change dude as well.
He was like, a climate change dude, and he was saving all these trafficked women.
Aye.
Now it looks like he was just...
See, this is what I always say.
Keeping them for himself.
It's, you see these fucking folks that overly do charity stuff?
Pedos.
Not necessarily pedos, but there's always something. Always something, aye. It's like people that... It's like men.
You're going to see someone walking around the British Heart Foundation. Like, I'm onto you, you fucking cow.
It's like men that overly do how much of a feminist they are.
Yes. Oh, I'll fucking know, like, a couple of them. Mm, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the equivalent of someone pretending to be gay to get close to someone.
Anyway,
and they're like, I'm gay too. now I have to live this lie forever.
Checkmate.
That'd be so funny if you said it out loud. Checkmate.
Well played, sir. Right, massive diversion there.
Yeah.
Final Destination. So the first, the original.
Yeah, the OG. That guy is from, the main guy is from, it's not the guy from Eurotrip. Have I just made that up?
I don't think it is.
What have I done? Know. I've just after, because I've watched last night, I watched Rat Race and it's all thrown me completely off. Let me just check. This
is all around about the same kind of time, these films.
Yeah, that's
it's
why.
Like early 2000s. It's,
that guy, I feel like, has just been in about five films ever in his life. Final Destination. Wrong guy. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, no. I've absolutely got that wrong. I remember the guy, or the girl in it, Ali Larter.
Ali Larter, she was in Heroes.
Was she?
Do you remember the TV show Heroes?
Yeah.
Before the Marvel films came out. That was pretty good, actually.
I did like Heroes. No, I know her from Resident Evil.
Oh, yeah.
Like Resident Evil. This wasn't as good as I remembered it.
It
was good, but I enjoyed it, but I didn't also...
It's very enjoyable, but there's a lot of shite in it.
Yeah,
actually.
I think so. I don't know if it's because I'm looking at it now through a different type of lens, because you're watching, doing this podcast, and you're like, you're writing stuff down and going like, fucking nonsense.
Do you know, you see that main guy?
Yeah.
I think there's only one scene in the whole film he's not in.
Oh, really? All right.
If you think about it, every single...
It's just where he is?
The only scene he isn't in is where his best pal gets hung in the bathroom by the washing line.
The strangle wank,
yeah. There's some proper cool deaths.
Strangle wank was pretty funny.
These group of films have got some of the best deaths ever.
Like, I don't even love the fact that when it started off, I was kind of like, right, the dialogue's written by someone who's... It felt like the dialogue was written by someone who's never been a teenager before.
Yeah. Aye.
We'll go get some crunk.
Yeah.
What is this?
I didn't know this, right? But, because if you've not seen it, the story is that there's a classroom of kids that are going to France as part of a school field trip. Yeah. And as they get in the plane to fly, the main guy Alex has like a premonition. Well, what we see is the plane just exploding, and it's a cool explosion.
Yeah,
because you don't just see it exploding; you see everything happen. And I love seeing people getting sucked off a plane. I love scenes where a bit of a plane comes off and somebody just gets sucked out of it.
Oh, aye.
I fucking love that.
If you were to get sucked out, would you keep the seatbelt on or take it off while you're in there?
I reckon, I don't know if you have the foresight to think, because what you don't want is, you don't want to be sucked off and then straight in the engine.
Yeah, well,
that's what
you don't want.
If you get sucked away, right, is there a chance, because it's just taken off, so it's not that far from the ground. Is there a chance if you unbuckled, could you survive?
Well, people have before.
People have been...
Fallen from like 33,000 feet.
Have they?
Some woman landed in a bog and was like, fine. She had a bog, and I don't know, it was like miraculous.
So yeah, I mean, if you landed... I mean, you did break a lot of shit and you'd probably be paralysed.
Yeah,
but there's a good chance. So I think if I had...
Don't think any of us... I think people are going at home going, chatting this, going like, even if it's taken off, that's still like 5,000 feet.
Yeah, aye.
It is still jumping off a
but
safe
if I had the wherewithal, yes, I would take.
I would take the
and give it a bash. Give myself a fighting chance.
I would unbuckle and then I'd like get myself into like aerodynamic and I'd fly back in.
glide into the cockpit. I'll take over from me.
What the fuck? It's Superman. Just a regular guy.
Glide back in.
Just do it like this.
Oh god, that's fucking hilarious. Glide back in.
Oh, close one. Suck back out again because the air's still cut. I always have a fear. You say if like a bullet went off and there's like a bullet-sized hole, could you get sucked through the bullet-sized hole?
Well, that happens in Goldfinger.
Oh.
So it's a tiny, tiny wee window, and Goldfinger's a big man, and he gets sucked out. But it's like, you ever heard that fact about how a mouse can get into your house from a hole the width of a pencil?
Okay.
Because their bones are bendy. Yeah. They can get themselves, they can fucking squeeze themselves, right? So yeah. That's basically what will happen with air pressure.
Okay, right.
You'll be able to get, I mean, your organs will just get mushed and your bones will crack because the air pressure is so high.
A wee flabby fall.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you could get a bullet hole. I don't know if you would get sucked out. I think the air pressure would, you'd just pass out because
I feel like I'd be light enough to reach terminal velocity. I reckon
you'd probably go through a bullet hole.
Go through the bullet. I reckon I could reach terminal velocity if I fell out of a plane. Fell out of a plane makes it sound like it. Oh!
Oopsie daisy.
Coming out the toilet. Fall at the lever.
Some guy.
You and some guy old woman.
What?
Yeah. Hit the cockpit. Some old woman sucked out with you.
So he has this premonition. We see the whole thing. And then he wakes up and realizes it has just been a vision he's had.
Yeah, yeah.
So then he kicks off and freaks out and then says, I need to go off the plane. It's going to crash. And then his pal goes with him. Two of the teachers go with him, but one of them gets chucked back on because for some reason, they won't let any of them back on. And airplane people are quite happy for, although the teenagers just to fly to France themselves with nobody. So one of the teachers has to talk them into letting an actual guardian come on.
Hey.
Stifler.
I do not remember him.
He doesn't even get on the plane because he was taking a shit and couldn't make it in time. A couple of other folk. One guy gets off purely because he wants to batter the kid that's on the mission.
He absolutely freaks out. I'll fucking kill you.
I've never seen an angrier guy in a film. He's angry about everything.
He tries to
batter him because he's a division. Then he tries to batter him because he was right and has saved his life. Then he tries to batter him because he feels he has to owe him something. He's just constantly angry, trying to kick fuck out of this kid.
And did you know he's the horny wee guy in the film too? Because at the start, no, he's not the horny guy. The friend.
No, I know the horny guy. I've got a horny. Horny guy scene in this.
In my head, it was the guy that was freaking out that wouldn't let him change the seats to be with the two girls.
He is, but he's just trying to fire in about those two chicks.
Yeah, yeah.
But he is also a wee horny guy, but because he says before they get in the flight, he says to Alex, who's the main character, "We need to go and have a shit." And he goes, "What? I'm not coming to shit with you." And he goes, "That's a 7-hour flight. We're going to be sitting beside these two honeys. If one of us farts, that's going to be windling about. Who are they going to think it is?" So then the next scene is just the two of them sitting taking a shit next to each other.
A tactical shite. I don't think I've had to do a tactical shite before.
They get off the plane and the plane genuinely explodes in air and then they realise that they've managed to... soon comes to realise that they've cheated death.
Yeah.
Because they were all supposed to die in the plane, but somehow they've
survived.
Yeah, they've survived, but they've put a spanner in the works.
Aye.
Of death's plan for them.
There's a couple more seats in the river Styx.
Yes. So then he starts having visions because he then quickly realises that death is still coming for them and they can't cheat death forever. And then he tries to, and then he finds out a pattern that they were going to die in a certain way. But then there's so many loopholes that you can...
Yeah, first of all, the film wouldn't work nowadays because at looming sense of death, it would just be going to an American high school. The final destination is geography at 2 o'clock.
Do you know this is before 9/11 as well? Because
would have been then.
So yesterday was September. So this comes out on Wednesday.
So we're recording
this on Tuesday, and so yesterday was the anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah, yeah.
So this wasn't
anniversary. Like, makes this sound generally, a good
I know it does. They do always go anniversary.
Anniversary. I love that. I was like, never forget. And like, I reckon we'll remember it.
Yeah.
Pretty spectacular. Oh, I remember that. The fucking jumbo jet suicides.
Have you ever heard Jimmy Carr's joke?
No.
It's one of the best.
I said no.
It's one of the best jokes. One of the best jokes I've ever heard. He said, "I was watching TV the other night, and the police commissioner of New York came out and said, 'We will never forget 9/11. And I thought, well, you better not. It's your phone number.
that's fucking so good. That's great.
But this wasn't planned. We didn't plan a plane crash.
Maybe you did. It wasn't preempted. No. I don't have that much foresight. If I pulled it out today for next week, you'd be like, I know where your head's going.
Well, don't be fucking too sure because
I'm
not that far off it for next week. We'll find out very soon enough. This was a year before 9/11 that this film was released.
Okay, yeah.
So it would have been a much different film because if you kicked off on a plane saying the plane's going to explode after post 9/11,
yeah, yeah.
You're straight to Guantanamo and you're never...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Regardless of your race, you mention anything on a plane.
Drip torture.
And that, but yeah, so...
It's the ball patch in his head. The water's been fucking...
But yeah, then what follows is a series of very elaborate deaths.
Yeah, I love...
Death
I mean,
is trying to catch up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's some of them that are totally unexplainable to the police that you'd be...
Yeah.
Like, crying laughing. I wrote one down when I was just like, you know the one where is it the teacher when she dies?
Yeah, hers is the most elaborate.
Yeah, the one she was murdered by the ghost of John Denver.
yeah. John Denver plays before every death.
He's not even dead, is he?
John Denver died in a plane crash. That's the whole... He died in a plane crash, John Denver.
When was this?
Oh, this was... I don't know.
Well,
80s, maybe?
Well, are you fucking joking me? Eugene reckons he met John Denver like 10 years ago. I swear to God, this whole fucking thing.
John Denver, because the wee guy even mentions it, John Denver.
I thought John Denver...
Yeah. Died 1997, so there is a chance he might. So, because of death, blunt force trauma as a result of a plane crash.
I mean, you don't need to put in blunt force trauma, you can just say plane crash.
Yeah. His ashes are scattered in the Colorado Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, he burned up on entry. On entry, it makes it sound like he was going from space.
An avid pilot, clearly not. Denver was killed in a single fatality crash while he was piloting it.
Oh!
So he'd recently purchased a light plane in 1997 at the age of 53, so he crashed his own plane.
Oh, okay. There you go. But anyway, all right, that makes much more sense to me. That was a weird fucking John Denver thing. You know, it's like a weird version of The Ring.
Yeah.
John Denver and your dick falls off in the shower.
What's your favorite death?
I think it's hers because it would never be able to. So she's drinking vodka out of a paper cup.
No, she makes a cup of tea, or coffee, but it's really hot. And then she freaks out because the cup's the same. It's got the logo or the...
Yes.
The emblem of the high school. So she goes, "Wah!" and then chucks the coffee everywhere.
Yeah.
And because it's now a hot cup, she then puts ice cold vodka in it.
Yes.
So the change in temperature cracks it.
And then she leaves a trail. But then it also goes to her computer.
Yeah.
And goes into her computer.
Yeah.
And short circuits the computer.
Yeah.
Which then explodes. And a shard of the screen comes out. and yeah. punctures her thorax. And then while she's bleeding around the place, the vodka trail starts catching fire.
Yeah.
And then she, while bleeding on her floor, tries to grab a towel to help her wounds, accidentally pulls the knife off the kitchen table, mm-hmm. which stands in the thing. And then just for extra measure, a chair falls on that knife to make sure it gets it right
out. I mean, she's already bleeding from the throat.
Yeah.
And has been stabbed right through the chest. And her house is on fire.
And explodes.
But Death then goes, I'll just make sure here I fucking launch this chair on you.
The police are going to come in and go, well, natural causes.
Another suicide, lads.
Open a shut case.
But, like, how shite was that vodka? Because it goes up like fucking petrol. Like, it's an actual trail. And then when the flame hits the bottle, you hear that sound that, like, a gas canister makes when it blows up. It goes, whoom, and then fucking the whole house explodes one bottle of vodka.
I never thought of that. I've never thought it was one bottle of vodka.
Like, Jesus Christ. Like, it's not even a Molotov cocktail. It's a fucking bomb. That's a cool death. The wee guy that gets hung. See, this is where I didn't like it, right? Because obviously I would have preferred if they hadn't actually had death as like a presence. If they'd had it where it was all kind of coincidental, but you go, that's a bit weird, that's a bit freaky that's happened. And you go, oh, death, obviously it's fate rather than death.
I know exactly what you're saying, I preferred to. You're talking about the liquid.
Yeah, the liquid.
Going like, back and
it wouldn't be that. It wouldn't be that bad if, because he slips on the floor because the toilet starts leaking. Again, he takes a shit a lot in this film. Yeah. It's the second shit he takes.
He died of IBS, really.
And the toilet starts leaking and then he slips on it and he's got a washing line on the bath and then he falls and it whips around his neck. And then he's got, like, shower gel all in the bath, so he's slipping. Yeah, he's got jizz in the bath. He's been jizzing. And that would have been much better.
Yeah, yeah.
If he hadn't been taking a shit and had just been ripping the heat off it.
I'm telling you, I think I said it before if I was a ghost, but it would have been funnier if just at the very end when he's dead and choked out, just Death removes his trousers. Sort of absolutely fuck with the family. Oh! Oh, I'm glad he's gone, to be honest. Oh, it's disgusting.
Pool ball in his mouth. but that's what I don't like, because the water that's then been dripping from the toilet then retreats back up the pipe, you go, now you've made,
fate it a
character.
I'd
prefer if it just been...
And
then I don't like the whole, they keep seeing a black shadow appear just before all the deaths, and then, even a shut window, they suddenly feel a chill and a wind blows.
Unless it's a hurricane you're about to die with.
Well, there's a lot of fucking, like, there's never good weather in this film. I don't know how long this goes on for, but for about 3 months solid, there's lightning strikes every night. Single fucking night, there's lightning strikes.
Every time it cuts even to a bedroom, it's I'm trying to sleep, going...
Because even like...
And they're coming for me.
Like that, even at the start.
Yeah.
Where the Alex dudes, why's he got so much creepy shit in his house? So he's got...
Because I know
they do the foreshadowing of a lot of the deaths, but there's like, he's got a doll just hung from the blind pulley in his window. So it's just a doll hanging. So you go, oh, well, someone's getting hung in this.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, why the fuck have you got that in your room as a teenage kid?
School shooter.
Yeah, it is proper. And then there's a wee... Did you see the wee bit when it's going... So the opening credits are just him going round his room.
Yeah.
And then they see like planes like dangling from his roof and all that kind of shit. And then do you see there's a book open? And it just had a picture of Diana after the crash. It's just the crash wreckage of Diana. Just like random.
Go for it.
Yeah.
That'd be great if in the middle of the film they just played Diana's death as well.
No reason.
That was our second cousin.
So his death's pretty cool. The coolest death, I think.
Yeah, I was about to ask, what was your favourite one?
My favourite one is Stifler's.
Oh, it's pretty funny.
Because
right?
it comes out of nowhere. Like, there's two deaths that come out of nowhere. The guy that's the angry guy's girlfriend dies because yeah, she just yeah. walks into the road.
Well, the only reason I know that's coming all the time is because every time a fucking film does that, they change the way the lens.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you see the lens go like that, and I'm like, yeah. okay.
So, also,
there's it's pretty, it's still good. Like, it makes you jump.
Oh, it's good.
Good jump.
There's no way a bus drives that fast, though. I mean, the bus guy, hits her at about fucking 120, for Christ's sake.
It's like, and, oh!
And it is. It's at a crossroads, because there's a cafe. They're sitting at a cafe with tables on the street, and this maniac's driving at this speed.
Don't step on the fucking dual carriage right there.
It was all, like, if that's not happened every week, then I'd be surprised.
Oh, so we may as well. It was proper drop dead. You know, that she yeah. says something like.
She does, yeah. She does, yeah. She's a proper line.
Like, as a fucking John F. Kennedy was like, all right, don't lose your head before I get blown up. You know, that level of. it's the same. It's so foreshadowed. Stifler's, though.
Yeah, Stifler's
was
is
the
cool.
guy who was trying to kill everyone.
Yeah, so he's the angry guy's going, well, fuck death. I'll choose when I die. So he starts driving like a maniac. And then just stops his car in the middle of a railway track
yeah.
with a train coming. But then he gets saved and
they're like, oh.
There's a ridiculously sharp bit of scrap metal just sitting on the train track that the wheels of the train whips up and it just chops his head off.
Not even half. It's like,
no, it doesn't.
It's like in half.
Yeah, and then it flips down the back.
Like Resident Evil job again. I don't know why Resident Evil's getting brought up again. That was a good one now, in fairness.
That's my favourite.
I remember that scene from years ago, but I don't ever remember it being Stifler. And it's not like I wouldn't know who Stifler was back then. That's when you would have definitely known him.
He's not really Stifler in this. He's more of a... He's a bit of a dork in this one.
Yeah.
He rides his bike fucking everywhere. Oh, at night time as well. He's always nearly knocked down.
Yeah, like, don't be riding your bike at night.
Yeah. There's a lot.
Oh, aye, that's right. He's nearly killed about three or four times.
Yes. Normally, by that angry guy, he nearly runs him over about three times.
That guy's just a serial killer, essentially. They just didn't have the skills to pull through. I reckon I'm in a Final Destination situation. And it hasn't caught me because I'm just too oblivious. As in, like, I'm accidentally walking past everything.
How do you mean?
So, like, you know, well, I've been hit by a load of cars. I've been hit by, like, seven. Now I'm on seven.
Really? How?
Just, I don't know how I do it.
Like, walking in the street and you just step out?
Mostly
and...
in the street. Like, I mean, none of them are really high speed, obviously, but...
Jesus Christ.
I'm on seven. Now, I haven't been hit by men in the last 5 or 6 years, though. It was all like a real period in my early 20s where I was rolling over bonnets quite a lot.
It wasn't the same guy. Just a guy trying to wipe you out.
It's coming in, yeah.
Your dad.
There he is.
Eugene. Different car every time.
He didn't want to pay for the abortion.
Play the long game with this cunt.
I've been fucking... Oh, swear to God, so many times I've rolled over... Like bonnets. You really? Swear I was in the fucking Dukes of Hazzard.
I get the only time I've been hit by a car was at Tea in the Park once. But that was at night and I was fucked.
You were driving?
No.
Pulled an Anton Yelchin.
I was wandering about the campsite, the car park of the campsite. I think I was trying to get back to my own car because I'd left something in the boot and I didn't know where it was and I was just staggering about and a guy was trying to drive home and pulled out and just knocked into me. Now again, I went over his bonnet.
There was a guy at school, I remember, because our big thing was you had to get to the town as quick as possible to get your food, so you have the longest break at, you know, at school.
Yeah.
But I remember people used to run and wait for the bin lorry to go by, and they'd run and jump on the back of
no
it.
No way!
And try and
hit like Marty McFly?
Like Marty McFly. But it happened, one guy jumped off, and he fucked up, and he, like, hit a parked car and somehow managed to front flip. He obviously jumped off, and it was far too quick.
Jesus.
He hit like a pole and shit, and everybody was just like, "Can you people stop trying to hitch rides on back of?"
Did the lorry drivers have any idea about this?
I don't remember. No, and I don't remember. I don't think they noticed at the back. No.
How can they not notice? But like their bin lorry looks like one of those trains that go through India. Fucking 90 people hanging on to it like that. All school kids.
All children. I reckon if anything goes wrong here, we might be in trouble, boys. Things full of handles for this exact reason. But, there's one. But when the fucking everyone was clapping before the plane took off in that one.
Yeah.
Not when it landed. That's another level.
That annoyed me, that bit, because the wanky teacher, the guy, I fucking hated these teachers at school. See, the language teachers that would never speak English.
Ah, yeah.
And they expected you to up the level right from the start as well. Like, I know it's like fully immersive in the language, but come on here.
Aye, aye.
So he's like, when he's trying to gather them all around. And then at the start, because there's maybe, I don't know, 20 students that are going on this, and it's a full plane of 200 odd folk.
Aye, aye.
And then he goes, le voyage, commencez! And then the whole plane starts going, yeah. And you're like, no, at best, a couple of the nerdy kids would go, yeah. Most of the kids would go, shut the fuck up, you prick. And the rest of the pilots, the rest of the passengers would be like, shut up,
fuck, you'd be sitting, you'd be fucking stewing.
Aye.
Yeah, everybody's stewing. You're always stewing when someone claps in the fucking plane lands out there. Like, you know.
Oh, I can't time I ever stand
clapped,
that.
I clapped when the plane landed in fucking 9/11. That's when I landed.
I don't think I've ever known anyone that's clapped. And it is a weird thing because
it's a certain type
even
of
with no frame of reference, when it first happened when we went on holiday and people did it, my kids went, that was weird. Like, so it's obviously a genuine, an understandable weird fucking thing for people to do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like a learned thing where they've heard it the first time and I'd gone, fucking weirdos, by the way.
Yeah,
and then
they've
gone, all right, they're weirdos. Without any context, they went, that was weird.
Yeah, like, good. It's probably people that do like scheduled show and tells with their family.
Yeah. Oh God. I've never done that. Here's a question, totally off tangent. See, when you leave or get off a bus, do you say thank you to the bus driver?
I do, actually.
Aye.
Do you?
I think that's an Irish and Scottish thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't happen down south at all. It's rude.
That's weird. Rude. That's weird. I feel weird. No, yeah.
But then what's the difference?
Well, somebody yesterday, it's funny you said this, somebody yesterday behind me, I turned around because they went, thanks, darling, to the bus driver. The woman said to the old man, I kind of went, thanks, darling. Jesus.
Cheers, sweet cheeks.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, because I was like, is that the same as saying a clapping at the end? But it's not really. You're just thanking them. You're not cheering them for doing their job.
It's the bus stop.
Clapping the back.
Like, this is fucking sarcastic. Oh, well done. You got here in one piece. I give an old lady, an old disabled lady, my seat in the bus yesterday. I was like, you fucking drive for a change of content.
You sit here. Here's your seat.
Ashton Kutcher. Oh, fucking great.
If you weren't disabled beforehand, you will be.
God. I know what seat you're going to be needing after this. The angry guys had SS written in the front of his car. Did you notice that?
No.
It wasn't like a Nazi thing, but for some reason it just said SS.
My God.
I noticed that.
There was a lot of weird wee things. Do you know the names of the two? So the FBI agents that are...
Johnson and Johnson.
Clearly, they're investigating this, but I don't really have a leg to... It's weird because they don't have a leg to stand on because there is absolutely no way that this kid could have blown up the plane. But also, they must be sitting there going, wait a minute here.
Aye.
This guy's around every single death. I mean, obvious the guy... Well, it's not really obvious the guy committed suicide because he's got nail marks at his neck. But then I suppose if you did that and you suddenly went... Oh shit, this was a mistake.
Yeah.
That's what you would do. But do you know what their names were?
No.
Agent Ween and Agent Shrek. Absolutely no authority Ween whatsoever. Hey Weener. Shrek. Shrek.
Ween and Shrek.
Agent Ween and Agent Shrek.
That's right. Sorry. This is my favorite character in a lot of films, right? It's a shite stereotype, and it happens a lot. It's a wise old black person.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know, like the Oracle in The Matrix.
Yes.
Like, oh, I'll have you some cookies, and I'll tell you what you do. You're
yeah,
like,
that's true, actually.
No, the more... It happens in so many films. It's always a black person. It's always either Whoopi Goldberg or someone like that. and then fucking... And this, they went into the morgue, and the guy in the morgue, remember...
The Candyman.
The Candyman was just like, oh, I know what this is. This is death trying to... I was like, this cunt just knows.
Yeah.
That's not what you want from a guy doing your autopsy. Like, how did this guy die? Oh, fate. Initially, do your job.
Initially, I wasn't sure. I don't know if he was supposed to work there.
I don't know
if
he was.
I think he'd sneaked in as well. Because he doesn't. He doesn't have. He doesn't seem to have the kind of. I don't know. I just always
maybe that is the Candyman.
He was. I mean, he's obviously he's in the film because it's the Candyman.
Yeah.
And around about this kind of time with Scream and stuff, you went, "Oh, if we can get
an
established horror actor in, then this will be class."
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's a cool scene because he's proper sinister.
He is good. He's good in it. Yeah.
Because there's a good jump bit where. Todd's, his hand just goes like that, and then he's like, "Oh, it's like the spasms of the formaldehyde in his body and all this kind of shit." And then he pulls some weird hose out of his shoulder. So I'm assuming he's been filling him full of.
Yeah.
I don't actually know what formaldehyde is. I'm assuming it's some like preserving.
I presume it just stops you stinking. Or is that the stuff that they use to like clean it out, clean you out a bit?
Well, that's a good eye. Because when they turn up, he's obviously they've. He's got a slight bruising around his neck, but they've made him up because they do that for open casket funerals. But they say, "What have they made him look like Michael Jackson?" We referenced before.
That's right. Do you ever see, this is very quickly, there's a show in Donegal, there's a TV show. It's all in Irish on TG Cahir or TG, the Irish channel. It's so funny. It's a show about a guy who owns a crematorium, and it's just basically Father Ted levels of things going wrong.
Yeah. That sounds good, actually.
The show's called, his name's See You Burn.
Excellent.
Good show.
Good show.
Everyone, and it's like all these little people. It's always just like people trying to poison their husbands and shit every episode. And there's always something like, oh, they lose the body, or the body's on the back of a fucking van if they chase it around town. Or, you know, that one time, you know, like the rigor mortis.
Yeah.
Sets in and they had to tie him down in the.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and then,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Pops
yeah.
up and shit during the funeral. And good show.
That is class. Candyman has my favourite line in this whole film.
What was.
Where he's kind of go. He goes, So he explains the whole thing about death. There's two. Right. I'll do the line and then I'll talk about the two problems I've got with death here.
Yeah.
Right. Well, first of all, he says that if you cheat death, you're going to die.
Yeah.
But then you go, well, I was going to die anyway. So why wouldn't I? Like, if death, do you know what I mean? It just seems like death is, there should be an extra punishment if you've cheated death. You shouldn't just get death again. Do you know what I mean? Like,
what do you, so you reckon you go to another world?
He's basically saying, remember, don't cheat death because you'll die. Like,
great. Sweet.
But then when he's saying that, and he goes, you don't want to, death has a design and death will come for you. And then he goes, and you don't want to fuck with that Mac Daddy. Yes. Class. It's
called
Mac Daddy.
Called death Mac Daddy. So, who's your horny guy?
Right, okay. Right, I'll do the horny guy and then I'll tell you my problem with death. Right. The horny guy is the main character, Alex. Right.
I thought you were going to say the people that were like knuckle deep in each other at the start. And remember, there's two people basically just riding on the.
Well, that's the angry guy.
Oh, is it?
Aye, so, right. Before they're getting on, she's properly riding him. No. It's the main character, Alex, because after he. This is like. Is it like 30 days after or something? So it's like a month after. So he's properly now into like conspiracy theory mode, and he's got books of plane crashes, the causes of plane disasters. He's got fucking charts up on his wall. He's doing all this research. He's flicking through books. And this is when he has his second premonition, because he stops his research at the plane crashes and then just goes, and he actually kind of looks about, and then he goes into his drawer and pulls out Penthouse. And he goes, well, I'll just have a wee wank here. And then, like,
no need
enough plane crash for me today.
Well,
all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Have a wee wank here. And then, he's reading the porno. And he's flicking through and he's just fucking staring at this naked chick. And then, inexplicably, an owl flies to his way. He's never seen an owl before. An owl comes. So he chucks the porno. at the window to get rid of the owl, but it catches on the fan. The fan rips up a page and chucks out a piece of paper with his best pal's name on it, and that's the sign. Like, if he hadn't,
I completely forgot about that.
Decide to look at those tits, he would have had no idea that his pal was about to be hung brutally in his own bathroom.
What for strangle wank? That's, I forgot about the fucking owl. Yeah. I forgot about Todd. Was it Todd?
It's, but it's Todd. So it's obviously like T-O-D. Today. It's not even spelled the cunt's name right.
Ray. Oh my God, Ray's going to get died. Ryan's going to get died.
Oh no, it's just an advert for Ryman's. Yeah. The problem of, because I think if they're going to make death a character in this, this is a shite Grim Reaper.
Okay, right? Yeah.
I hope they're not trying to say that death's just one person that's trying to kill everyone.
No, I think death
is, there's different deaths. So the Grim Reaper, each area gets assigned a Grim Reaper.
Yeah, okay.
And this one's just a bit shite.
Okay.
Right, so he's supposed to have killed everyone.
He's the intern.
Yeah. So basically, he's supposed to have killed everyone in the plane crash, and then he's fucked up, and he's gone, I'm going to get my balls booted for this. Like, I cannot take another disciplinary here. This is like the third time I've fucked up a mass disaster here. I'm going to need to fix this. So then he goes about it, but he's not good enough a death to go about it in any kind of way. Because there's like, so why doesn't he just... There's a bit where Alex goes to the cabin, right? And he death-proofs the whole cabin.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
And so he puts, like, corks over every nail or every hook, and then he gaffer tapes up everything that might fall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he realises there's one bit he hasn't. So then a fishing rod falls through, and a fish hook comes through the door, and he goes, ah... tetanus, and you go, why would you be he killed your teacher 9 different ways, why would he go for tetanus with you? What an incredibly long way for you to die. Like, what, why is he gonna sit there and wait for you to contract tetanus, then rail against the treatment they gave, then sit in intensive care for months? But also, this is why the death is shite, because he's in a cabin on his own in the woods, under trees. It's lightning every night. Why does he not just strike a tree, crush the cabin, then he's dead?
You know what you could do? You could send... it'd be really funny if Death just sent a lad with AIDS to get him. Hello! Ding, ding. The doorbell going.
Turn up to the cabin.
It was like, it paid him. Death paid this dude just to. My things aren't working right now, so we're just going to.
There's a well dodgy bit at the start, actually. See, when they're getting on the plane,
yeah,
and they look at the first class or business class, whatever the one is, you turn left, and they see a newborn baby crying. And then one of them goes, It's going to be a fucked up god that crashes this plane. And then they turn around and there's a severely disabled guy. That's just like right. That. And they go, a really fucked up god. And you're like, what?
I fucking forgot about that. Be great.
So what they're saying is the, like, god, they're basically calling God a prick in this film. Because he does crash.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
They're like, he's fucked it for everyone here. do you know that they're always saying, like, don't put your oxygen masks on?
Yeah.
Or you put your mask on yourself for others.
Yeah.
You know, your kids. But I don't think anyone needs to. I think you'd naturally do that.
What, you'd naturally go and put it on other people? Like,
I don't think, if you're going out in a plane, I don't think it's your kid anymore. It's just another airbag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would
have two masks on.
I'd go around putting it on everyone. Like, annoying people that have already put it on properly, take it off again and put it back on.
You gotta,
to take the piss.
You gotta. That would drive so many fucking people mental too.
Do you know what's always bugged me about planes? See, when at the start. Now, I try and listen because I think doing that safety demonstration that stewards do is one of the shittest jobs you can do, because it's a good 5 minutes they're doing that and no one is listening to them.
Yeah.
I would try and keep a wee eye on them, right? But there's some people that just point blank. I've seen some people, as soon as they start, go, oh, for fuck's sake, and then, like, you know, like, but they always say beforehand, please watch the safety demonstration, because even though you might have seen it many times before, rules on this flight might not apply to other flights as well. And I'm kind of going, how much different can they be?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be the same kind of rules.
Yeah,
going to be the airbags. It's going to be the brace position. It's not going to be like, well, on this flight, did you not watch? Because on this flight, we pick a random person to land the plane. So, like, you should have watched.
Cause... handstands only when you're leaving.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't do one. Well, you're staying on the plane. You're going to fuck it up for everyone else. But how?
Another thing that annoyed
me. I fucking said that. I didn't mean to. Like, a nervous flyer beside me, and they were in the emergency exit. You know, like, they come out and you go, are you okay being in the emergency exit? I didn't know that the person beside me was about to say, no, actually.
Right.
Even though I thought that would be a better place for you.
Yeah.
But I was at the door one. He's like, so are you okay if anything, you're the one that goes to the door? And I said, it's your funeral.
Oh, fucking Jesus. Oh, God almighty. Oh. I do feel a bit of pressure whenever I get that.
Aye.
I've only had it like twice.
Can I practice?
Because that's the last thing. Like, because I've been in those nervous situations where I've had to open a door quickly, but I can't get the key in the lock. Or you're like,
out after sex?
Yeah.
Fuck, I have to take a piss.
You don't want that. Why would I lock the door from the inside?
Oh, God, that's sinister.
What the fuck? What a terrible way.
It's going to be a good fun night.
Pitch black, and all a woman hears is a zzz, and then the click of a lock.
The click of a lock will turn any woman on. You're going to be safe in here. Dreadful.
The only other thing that annoyed me was the memorial service as well, because it happens very quickly.
Oh, right? Yeah, okay, yeah.
And the statue, I think, it's a big bird. I think something more appropriate for, like, it's a big, huge fucking eagle. Something more appropriate for an entire class of people that have died in a plane crash than a flighted animal. Like, come on here. Like, get to it.
That's like Erling Hanlon yesterday with his post.
I don't know.
He put a picture on 9/11, put a picture of himself doing a flying kick, so an Erling.
Oh, my God.
And everybody's like, of all days, man.
Oh, what's the two? You put one up in the group, the Danny Dyer 9/11 post.
Oh, that's my favourite. I can't believe it's 11 years since them slags smashed into the towers. Does my nothing thinking about it to this day, Channel 4, 9 o'clock.
Them slags?
Aye, them slags. It's like the Brian McFadden one from Westlife.
What was that?
Brian McFadden called out ISIS. Once Brian McFadden from Westlife, he says, why don't you, no guns, no bombs, just me and you, man to man in the street.
What? Brian McFadden and ISIS? Is it just one ISIS guy? Do they have to pick their hardest?
He didn't even tag them. Just called them out. I love those, because there was the Mark Wahlberg one, obviously.
Yeah.
That was the big
Chris
one.
Chris Jericho did one as well.
Chris Jericho's was great.
That was a classic. Yeah. His one actually makes at least a bit of sense.
Like, you just pretend to kill people.
So he's like, if the 9/11 hijackers had tried to do it in a plane that were carrying all the WWE wrestlers.
Yeah.
You go, right, fair enough, because these are massive dudes that are probably hopped up on steroids at the time.
Yeah.
There's a good chance. Like, if I was a jihadi bomber, I wouldn't really want, if I had to pick a plane, I wouldn't pick the plane with a fucking Undertaker and the Big Show on it.
Like, you would know they were coming anyway because you'd hear their entrance music.
Imagine that. They fucking just take take over the cockpit and they hear a glass smash.
Dun, 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 dun. Steve Austin.
Over the radio, Jim Ross. Oh my God! That's the Warriors music!
And he opens the cockpit door and he's running. You know, like they're running towards the ring. You can see him doing that fucking sprint. Oh my God, closing it, locking the
oh
door.
Oh my God, that'd be so fucking hilarious. Oh, just as they just
it's the big show.
Just as they took control of it. Oh, you didn't know.
It'd be so fucking stupid.
I'm now trying to think, because the Undertaker's one would be ominous, but if it was like Billy Gunn, it's like, I'm an ass man.
Can't get out of it.
Oh, Christ.
Opens the door and the other terrorist that left outside is getting his arse, the Rikishi.
Oh, that's so funny.
So fucking stupid.
It's just, I'm just thinking about it and all. 7-7 on the top of a bus. Well, it's a big show.
Everybody's like, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God the big show's here. It's so stupid. We've lost him.
Oh, God. Oh, that's fucking hilarious. Oh, my God.
I think that's the end of that one.
I can't think of anything more funny to say now.
We're covered in bang on time.
Is it bang on time? Oh my God. Right, next week. Generally, this wasn't planned at all. I picked it at random.
I'm sure.
So, from one plane disaster to another.
United 93
or something. This time, not caused by death itself, but caused by an alcoholic Denzel Washington. We're going to watch Flight next. And you've not seen this?
No.
It's class.
No, I've not.
It's really class. And it's got an even better plane crash scene.
Okay.
Than Final Destination. It's got probably the best plane crash scene I've ever seen.
Okay, good.
In films. So, it's great. That's great.
Of good ones.
But yeah, thanks so much again for downloading. It's class. Like we were saying at the start, it's class when folk come up after gigs and tell us that they love the podcast. We were number 6 on the comedy charts in the Bahamas. Bahamas.
Big in the Bahamas.
Oh, God. So, yeah, thank you very much to our Bahamian. They're the cunts that let the dogs out.
The Bahamian.
But, yeah, keep sending us... I've not checked the...
Don't send us emails.
I don't think I've ever checked the Gmail.
No, I think we've been locked out immediately.
Oh, yeah, we were locked out.
I'm pretty sure I sent you the thing on the first day we decided to do the podcast. I go, here's absolutely
I think we were
dot
locked.
A Gmail, and then got locked out of something else.
I think we were locked out because, and I think this is happening as well. Actually, that's a good thing. If anyone can get in touch with us over Twitter or Instagram, whenever I put up on YouTube,
okay,
every single time, the very first one, we were allowed ads on it. But ever since then, we're not allowed ads because it's deemed unsuitable.
Okay. Right?
And I can't understand why, because I've put specials up with far worse language on it than we do in here.
It might be... Would it just,
I think it's the cuts. I think it's the absolute cuts thing. But I've tried Absolute Cuts podcast, but that doesn't make any difference. So if anyone knows how to get around that so that we can start getting ads on the YouTube, because we're losing out on about, I reckon, about 4 pence a week.
Are you joking me?
On this, about four, we could earn, with our viewers, we could be earning about 4. But yeah, it's really annoying. And there's another thing, right? If there is any YouTube folk out there, our theme tune music is free to use, public domain, but there's this thing,
it's automatically picking the shit up.
Widely known thing on YouTube that there's this company that basically claim copyright for everything. I need to. Do you know what?
Oh, you told me about this. Yeah, right, that's right. That's
you keep speaking, and I'll tell you what the.
That's a fucking nightmare.
Who's a?
So trying to claim copyright. Well, anyway, while you're doing that, make sure you do follow us on like the Twitter and the Instagram, and probably if you want to contact us, they're probably the best places right now. Because we'll try and get that Gmail back. I don't know what. I think all those accounts are. We better get on that because all those accounts, I'm pretty sure, are linked to that Gmail. So, like, if that goes down, we're going to lose access to everything.
Wait, where the fuck is this thing?
We have gigs tonight. If you're in Dublin too, me and Nelson are doing the Laughter Lounge. What is that, the 15th and 16th? Or 14th, 15th, yeah. Whatever, this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend, Friday.
In Dublin.
And Saturday.
So that was
a little cheat. So. The copyright of our thing, because I've tried to contact the guy that actually put this up for public ownership, and he's never got back. But it's claimed by Hawk, which is HAAWK for a third party. Right? Apparently these pricks do it with most things, unless you've basically composed the music yourself. If this exists anywhere, even on a public domain site, they'll claim it. And the hope is that people will never... Because I challenge it every single week, but it keeps happening every week. So if anyone knows how to stop that, then that'd be class.
I definitely get onto this. All right. All right. Well, see you next week.
See ya.